welcome everybody to Showtime. It's appointed times in God's eternal kingdom. It's named that because we believe that God has appointed these times, and we are appointed for this time today. And so understanding that and knowing that God is doing something not only in the world but also through us, that it's important that we just have a good conscience feeling or conscious knowledge of that God is working. So, Brother Steve, I'm going to ask you to pray.
Father, we thank you so much for being able to come to you in freedom, Lord, to you, and that we know who you are and that you love us and you yes. have redeemed us, Lord. And help us to walk in that knowledge of who you are and let it be portrayed throughout our lives to all the people out in the earth, Lord, that we will be a light shining on top of the hill, Lord. And Lord, just anoint this time, give us the words to speak, Lord, yes. and we just praise you and thank you yes. in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, as all of you know, this is just an improv type of discussion that we're having on what God is saying to you personally. And so, Brother John, we'll start with you.
I would love to. Greetings to all you show people. Looking forward to see you soon. It's nice to be around brothers here that are of the same mind, and that we will pray for each other, and we will soon be together again.
So, amen.
As we meet during these times, it's always to try to share what God's showing us, what God's placed in our hearts. And for me personally, for my family, one of the things that has been very, that I've been focused on is God's goodness.
Amen.
And it's times like these sometimes where the negativity that's around seems to kind of stand out a lot brighter than God's goodness. And so what God's showing me is that look for it, because it's been there all the time.
Yeah. Amen.
His goodness has always been there. He is a good God. And you're going to hear that. You're going to see that. And what I wanted to share in that area is we've had a couple of issues family-wise with health with some of our family members. And our first reaction is always, it seems like the first reaction is always like worst case scenario. Whenever you hear that something, you know, a doctor said something about someone, the first thing, and you know, that we've gone to is, oh my gosh, what could come out of this? And I should know better, but my emotions still catch up on me. And you know, that's just who I am, and I should know better, and I do know better. But something that you know, even as Pastor Henry's last sermon, he mentioned about the spending time, the fellowshipping with God, and the shielding that takes place when you see those fears coming at you, and the shielding that takes place. And that's really what has happened during these times, when first reaction, probably not the greatest, but when I've taken my time to just sit down with him and talk to him and listen to him.
Amen. Come on, brother.
I'm not at that same place that first reaction came. There is a strength that comes. There is a reassurance that comes when you talk to him. He tells you, I'm here. I am here, and I'm taking care of this. And so not to allow those things to rule what you have, and to know that God is in control. And that fellowshipping that you spend, that reminding that he tells you, of who he is and his greatness, that his name is above any sickness, any disease, any obstacle that would ever come your way. It's no longer something that's upon your shoulders, because he is the one that fights our battles.
Amen.
And so that's kind of what I wanted to share with today. You know, it's okay that sometimes the things of the world kind of get to your head, but they're not going to reach your heart, because God is in charge of your heart. And so God is good all the time.
Amen. Amen. And isn't it funny, Pastor John? No, I mean, isn't it something that when you spend time in the presence of God and you sense His presence, it encourages you, even if He's not speaking about that thing that you're going through, just spending that time in His presence allows a strengthening in your heart where, hey, you know that God's got you.
It is, you know, and that's kind of what I've gone through is like right away, you know, and I think it's just humanity, you know, it's like, whoa, you know, yes. It's just you're like slapped, you know, and it hurts. And then you go, I've seen you. I've seen you in my past. I know what you've done. I know what you can do. And it's for that slight moment that you kind of lose it, you know, and yet you're reminded.
Amen.
And there, this peace comes upon you, this reassurance of it's okay.
Amen.
And I'm going to trust in whatever it is because it's okay.
Amen. That's exactly right.
And, you know, I think it's a natural thing, too, because, you know, Pastor was talking about, you know, David this last Sunday. And, you know, look at some of the Psalms. You know, it's him in a cave somewhere crying, you know, because, yes. Like, it's that first reaction we have. But like you said, it should just be something that's in our head, doesn't make it to our heart.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. It's almost like you. It's almost like you lose your humanity if you're not impacted by something.
That's it.
Isn't that right?
That's
and we are His kids, and it's okay. It really is okay to have that initial, but then remember that the Lord is on your side, man.
He's in charge. He's got it under control, and like I said, that shield that we have is a shield against the fear, because fear does come in, or wants to come in, I should say, whenever you hear something that is negative, some diagnosis that, you know, could it be this? And right away, worst case scenario starts bombarding you, and yet to know, okay, Lord, what are you saying?
Amen.
Not what am I hearing in this world? What are you saying? And when you get done hearing what he's saying,
you don't care.
Yeah. We're good.
God has the truth, right?
Amen.
You know, I agree with you, Pastor John. And when it's like God's really been showing me a couple of different scriptures time and time again. One is Peter walking on the water.
Yes.
He asked Jesus if he could come to him.
Yeah.
And he said yes, and he walked out. And he's who knows how far he walked, but as soon as he saw the waves, and the waves were there and the wind was there before he walked out. And he was focused on Jesus and he walked out and he actually walked on water.
Amen. Yeah.
And then when the troubles came, when the sickness comes, or when we look at that, that's where so many Christians are at. They look at the problem, the waves, the storm, and they don't see God's eyes.
Amen. Yeah. Come on.
So he sank. But Jesus was right there to pick him up.
That's exactly.
So we always have that special thing. And then when the pastor was talking about David picking up the stones, I thought, I was in Israel a long time ago, and we were down at the creek where David supposedly picked up the stones. And I thought, I love rocks, and I thought, I'm going to go. They said we can go pick up a stone. I thought, what a gem. I can pick up this stone from the, you know, thousands of years ago. And later, the tour guide said, oh, yeah, they dump five dump trucks of stones every week. So I thought, but, you know, when the pastor said that, I was thinking, so many Christians are like that. We go pick up a stone and think it's anointed because someone else was anointed.
Yes.
And we can't copy other people's anointing.
Amen. We can.
Amen.
So,
yeah.
Amen.
But anyways, that's what I got out of that.
Praise God.
It's like if David's heart wouldn't have been where it was, that stone would have meant nothing.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, just like Pastor Sermon, you know, there was some angel dust.
Angel dust on angel dust.
Somebody else, you know, that if Saul would have gone out there that and tried the same thing, it wouldn't have worked.
And that's right.
Well, I mean, that's definitely what I was thinking about when Pastor was talking about it. And, you know, we see so many times like how somebody else has done something. Because like you go into battle, the thing you think you're going to do is like, well, I need some armor. I need a sword. I need this. And then, you know, I'll go out with that. But, you know, the thing is, you know, whatever we have is enough, because that's what God's given us. He's like, you know, I'm going to show my strength through your weakness. People aren't going to believe this. Amen. And, you know, it's so crucial that we don't look at how other people did stuff, but we look at how God has prepared us, how God has equipped us. You even read, you know, in Ephesians, talking about that.
Yes.
He's given us everything we need to do exactly what God has willed us to do. And I think we all need to, like, make sure that, you know, when we come out of this, that, you know, that's what we're doing. Even through this, that's what we're doing.
Amen.
I mean, we're all here right now, right? So
that's right, yeah.
Come on. And this is what God's called us to do. This is what God's equipped us to do.
Come on.
And we're going to do it. So, you know, everybody listening, you know, that's what you got to do too.
Amen. Come on.
Yep. There's a shaking going on. He's shaking the church. He's shaking all of us and getting the junk. He's letting us get the junk out of our lives and get right with him. And to do the exploits, to be able to walk out of the boat and to walk on water and do the things that God calls us to do. And there's a scripture, Second Chronicles. We all know this scripture.
Yeah.
But I was amazed. I read this. I was reading it the other day, a couple weeks ago. And it's 2 Chronicles 7, 13, and 14. So we always read 2 Chronicles 7, 14, and we don't really even abide by it. Because it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. So how many times do we really humble ourselves?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. We just kind of overlook that and pray and seek my face. And how hard do we really seek God's face? And then turn from our wicked ways.
Come on. That's right.
And do we turn from our wicked ways? So then he said, and this whole Second Chronicles is written when Israel was strong. They had the temple. They were strong. This is a promise God made for the future, for Israel and for us. And it says, and I will heal their land. But chapter 7, verse 13 says, if I shut up the heaven and there be no rain, and if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. That's what's happening today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Isn't it, and it should be a mandate, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That we go before God and you know, I think all of us know that you can't approach God with pride. You can't approach him saying, hey God, here I am. What do you know, with this kind of attitude, man? You know, no, man, it's a humbling, it's a privilege for us to step into the presence of God.
Amen.
It is a privilege to stand in the hallways of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I was thinking of another song this morning, and it says that he has made me, he won't let me forget that he's made me to sit in high places. I mean, he's made us to sit next to him in this kingdom, to hear what he's saying. And it in pride, and we have to humble ourselves. We have to be in a place where our heart is just, God, it's not haughty. It's something that God does for us. And then when a nation will do that before the Lord, and it's, I'm talking about a nation of Christians. See, you can't expect the ungodly to do that. Is that right? You can't expect the ungodly to humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and everything, because they don't know God. They're not listening for him. They're not trying to find God. Yeah. They don't want him. But it's the church. It's the church that has to turn from their wicked ways and you know, hey, quit going your own way and let me direct you. And I believe that's when you'll see the hand of the Lord heal the land.
Amen.
That's for us. That's for us today.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. It's a promise.
And we need to be resound in our faith, just like the three Hebrew boys. They went to Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man on earth, and told him that we're not going to be certain of what we say, or we're not going to hold back what we say. And they were facing death, and they said, if it be so, God will deliver us. If it be so.
Yeah.
And then if it's not so, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And if not so, we will not bow down before your idols.
That's right,
and that's where we need to be really staunchly devoted to God.
It's a faith.
And know God, to know that you know, whatever happens, it's His will.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
You know, it's always a remnant that this nation is blessed because of us. Any nation is blessed because of the body of Christ in that place, not because of our politics, not because of who our president is, not because, and that's why such small numbers can create such a huge event. A small group of people getting on their knees before God and repent.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Get right with God. If there was only one Christian in this nation, that's all there was, and they repented and got on their knees before God and said, hey, let's do this. Amen. Yeah. He would change the entire nation for that one person. Just one.
Yeah. And we can repent for our nation, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I one more thing.
Sure.
But I was reading this morning the Lord's Prayer. It says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth or in earth. And this is what the pastor's been preaching all this time. As it is in heaven. So he said, God says it can be on earth, in our lives right now, as it was already ordained in heaven before we were born.
Amen. Come on.
And we just have to know who we are.
That's
and
exactly
not be
right.
Browbeaten down by the media, by false teachers and preachers. And
come on.
And
that's right.
Know who our God is and stand strong in Him.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. We are in a time where the kingdom of God is being established in the earth. I believe it. I believe that God is opening these things up to us. The world will see what the kingdom is like in the earth, man. It really will. And because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He does have an intent and He does have a purpose and a plan. And He's taken it to it. You can't stop it. We cannot stop this thing. It's going to happen. God's going to take it to that. So I love it. I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, this morning I watched a show on Iwo Jima, and it was about a battle, especially for the one of the bloodiest battles of the whole war, taking that island. But Sugarloaf was a peak that they named it. It wasn't very big, 300 yards long, and only maybe 75 feet high, if I remember. It wasn't much of a hill, you know. Out here, we got a lot bigger stuff. But when the Marines landed, they met like very little resistance. But the enemy was dug in, you know, and they were waiting. Mm. And you know, that kind of happens, right? And but the amazing part to me was the fact that these guys were trying to take that hill day in, day out, and just being cut to pieces, right? And excuse me, they just kept going back, right? They just kept going, trying to get it, you know, day after day after day. And the, I guess the part that gets me is the, you know, if the church had that kind of
perseverance,
intestinal fortitude, that perseverance, that kind of, we're going to do this, you know, we've got God's promise, we're there. These guys kept going up there every day, you know. And when it was over, only there was 75% of them were dead.
Wow.
You know, so it was not a pretty thing. I mean, those bullets were whizzing past your head all day long. And but the church, if the church could ever stand on the promises that we have, if we were really wanting to go after it, right?
I
mean, that's what I was thinking. It's like, man, you know, we've got such good and great promises from God. He cannot lie. So if it's in there, it's for us, right? I mean, He's sovereign God. He can do things, but He will back up His word. And, you know, and Pastor Pat had read this the other day, a couple of weeks ago too, but, you know, it's Psalms 91, and it will, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in Him will I trust.
Yeah.
You know,
amen.
In Him I will trust. Like what David, you know,
amen.
That was pretty awesome. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Surely. from the noisome pestilence.
Amen.
He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
Amen.
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Do we believe that? Do we know that to be true? Right? Yeah. I mean, that's what the church, we need to go after those promises. I mean, we need to be that light. We need to be that move of God. I mean, God has done that. The world needs us.
Amen.
We need it. And are we hungry for it, though? How bad do you want it?
Amen. That's right.
You know, how bad do you want it? That's the thing, you know. That's, you know, kind of what was in my heart was just watching, you know, and seeing that, you know, day after day, what those guys were doing. And it's like, hey, the church, if the church could get that drive, that will, that hunger, that we're going to take it. We're going to take this, you know, it's ours. You know, and it wasn't just the battle there on the land, but the battle was also out in the sea. You know, the kamikaze planes were coming in and taking out the ships.
Wow.
You know, and it was, you know, that admiral had to decide, are we going to stay or are we going to desert these guys?
And they stayed. Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah. They stayed.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It is pretty cool, man.
I like it.
You know, and it's funny because like you said that, you know, they were dug in pretty good, you know. And a lot of times, what we don't realize a lot of times is some of the things we've been taught, some of the things that we've learned all our life, these are things that are dug in that sometimes God is trying to, hey, I'm going to remove this from you because I've got something else for you, you know. And so it's important that we do spend our time with the Lord and praying in the Spirit. And who said that? Encouraging or building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit, allowing God to speak through you. That way it prepares your heart to hear the things that God is saying to you.
Amen.
And we're in a world today that I am convinced that nothing's going to happen except it's by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is going to lead this thing, and it's going to be wonderful. We're going to see that the body of Christ, for years you think that the body of Christ cannot come together. Isn't that weird? Isn't that the way we kind of drive by other churches and, you know, and you know, hey, man, do you actually pray that God would unify, would bring the body of Christ together? Do you pray that way or do you just, you know, it's never going to happen. I'm not that way. I believe God's going to bring this by His Spirit. He's going to bring the body of Christ together because
walls are coming down.
That's right. Walls are coming down. Yeah. Jesus said that they might be one. When Jesus is praying, this time to hear, isn't that right? And he was praying to his Father. He said, Father, that they might be one as you and I are one. And we need to be one with the body of Christ. Those people that are led by the Spirit, being taught by the Spirit, speaking by the Spirit, all of those things. And so we're going to see a great work that God's done.
It all comes down to the second, the greatest commandment is to love your God with all your heart. And the second is to love others.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if we don't love others, I mean, if we love others, there will be unity.
That's right. That's
and the thing is it's like love others. It's not just love Christians.
Right.
You
right.
Know? Yeah, so we got to make sure we love everybody.
That's right.
It's not love people who disagree with you. You know, love people doesn't have the same view as you. It's love everybody.
Amen.
Right.
Because if it truly is the love of God, because that's what it is, right? Because God puts the love of God within us. But the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Is that right? That's what the Word of God says. So if it truly is the love of God, it's going to go out to others, and it will be love. It won't be anything else. It'll love. It will love. It won't try to manipulate and whatever. It will be love that moves out into the lives of those that we're speaking to.
Go ahead. There's testimonies coming out of Wuhan, China. The church is coming from underground up, and they're preaching in the streets, there's healings happening, and not one of the Christians have been sick with this coronavirus, not one.
God.
So, and they're not afraid. They came up, and they're not afraid. Mm-hmm. They know who their God is.
That's it. But, you know, the Word of God says to lay hands on the sick. Is that right? Come on, man. He's 6 feet. No, man. Come on, man. In love, there is no fear. That's what the Word of God teaches us.
Perfect love drives out all fear.
There is no fear. Yeah, and so
God is love. I mean, something that you just brought up. You know, Paul said, "I know in whom I believe.
Amen.
I mean, there's a lot of people believe in things, but they don't know what they're believing.
That's right.
I mean, everything that God's been putting on my heart lately is just, who are you in Christ? I mean, the blood covenant. I have looked more in depth into the understanding of what a blood covenant is than probably any time in my Christian life. I left my study at home the other day, and as I was walking out, I mean, the Lord just told me so crystal clear, it has lifted. I don't know all what that contains, but I tell you what, I've been walking on air for 3 days. There's something that took place. There's something. I know that when we first started praying for this stuff, I wrote the date down at home. I believe, I'm naive enough to think that God heard my voice that day, that this thing was destroyed. This coronavirus was eliminated. It's dead. It doesn't have any hope. So my encouragement to everybody that's listening is to get into God's Word and understand what your position is as a born-again believer in this life. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus has called, when you go back and you study the life of Abraham, who was called a friend of God, capital F, you are a child of the King. You are a joint heir. Everything that's his is yours, and vice versa.
Amen.
So we have everything that pertains to life and godliness right here, right now.
Amen.
To accomplish his perfect will in our life. And I want to read a scripture. John 14:12 says, "Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." I looked this up in a translation which was carried over from in the Greek. And to paraphrase, it says, if you'll ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And if I don't have it, I'll make it. Nothing is impossible for God.
That's right.
You know, he became every sickness and disease on the cross. He became every sickness and disease on the cross that man didn't even know about yet.
That's right.
Everything that pertains to life and godliness is ours in Christ.
That's exactly right.
So, again, understand who you are as a believer in this world. Understand that. Find out who you are. Don't just believe what someone says. Don't just believe something we say. Go open up your Bible and get to know him in a personal way where you know when you pick this up and it says whatever you ask, this is asking in covenant. Whatever you need, he's already provided for. It's already there. So when you're asking, you're putting a demand on something that's already there waiting for you to obtain and pull in.
Amen.
That's up to us to make that initiative to reach out and ask and take it and use it for what God wants you to do right now. I've had a lot of really neat experiences walking through the stores here locally. I think I shared this with Brother Steve. This guy walked up to me in Walmart. He's probably 85. And I saw him and his wife. They had a tree in their cart. And I said, "Hey, looks like some work." And he goes, "Work?" He ran right up to me. He goes, "Man, I can tell. I can tell by looking at you." He goes, "You're not afraid of nothing, are you?" I said, "No, sir, I'm not." He goes, "Good." He goes, "I'm going to tell you one thing. You know, I read in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 6, that God's promised me 120 years. He goes, "I'm 85. I got a long ways to go. Do you see me worried about anything?"
Yeah,
"No."
Man.
And I'm thinking, is this, did God just send me an angel to encourage me? I don't know.
Absolutely.
But he began to expound on different things. He said, if we're supposed to live 120 years, well, don't we Shouldn't we be doing our part and eating like we should so we can live that long? I mean, I'm going, absolutely, man. And all of a sudden, stuff started rising up within me, because for anybody that knows me, I love nutrition. That's what I encourage people in doing. And so 15, 20 minutes went by, and this guy is just right here. He's going, man, can you believe it? I mean, isn't it great? And I go, yeah. I go, he goes, I've lived here 25 years. And I go, you have? I go, well, you know where the old bowling alley is? He goes, there's a bowling alley here? And I go, well, no, not anymore. There's a church. Praise God. So I invited him to church. He goes, man, as soon as it's open, I'll be there.
Praise God.
I did the same thing at a couple other places where I just met people that you can tell they got question marks in their eyeballs. They're wanting to know what is going on in the world around us. So another facility I went into and invited them to church. It's an owner, it's an employee, and they're going, yeah, we know about that. I mean, we used to bowl there. And I go, well, come visit us. You know what I mean? So people, they want to know. They, you know, I always say Maranatha when I say goodbye to someone. And inevitably, they go, what's that mean? And I'll tell them, Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? We got an opportunity, guys, everywhere we're at. We're just Johnny Appleseed, man. We're just planting seeds of encouragement. I shot something over to Pastor John. It's a statement. And I'd heard it before. It's just something that had been buried inside of me, but it came out. And I knew these things, but the way it said, it was spoken, it made it come alive again. If you know someone that's sick and they're born again, you look at them and say, you are not the sick. You are the healed, and the enemy is trying to take what you have. We know that, but the way that was spoken to me, it may have become a picture, a reality. What, the only reason he's trying to get it from you is because you have it. Mm-hmm. He's not trying to steal something from you that you don't have. You have, as a born-again believer, Christ the healer in you. And he's wanting to, by fear, condemnation, guilt, or whatever, trying to steal that from you. Don't let him do it. If you're sick out there, understand the blood covenant of what God has done for you. He became every sickness and disease on the cross, and every sickness and disease that hasn't been discovered yet. So be encouraged. Walk in the knowledge you have of him and act like it's so. Proclaim it. Boast about it. Brag about your father. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. Stand your ground. When you've done all you can do to stand, keep on standing. He's coming soon, so let's have fun.
That's right.
Let's get after this.
Hallelujah.
You know, Pastor Pat brought about relationship with God. And a nice analogy is when kids come home to their home, you know, they're out of the nest and they come back home. They don't ask if they can go to the refrigerator and have a sandwich. It's theirs. It's already theirs. This word of God, it's already ours. And we don't have, you know, God says to ask, but it's ours.
That's right.
And when Pastor Pat said about healing, says, by his stripes, we are healed.
Amen. That's not, right.
It's not a question. It's we are healed.
That's right. We're healed.
We're healed.
We're healed. we're healed.
Past tense, right?
Praise God. Amen. Things of God are so important to us and to the world today. It's amazing, you know, when you think about the Word of God, where it says that, you know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I don't know if you guys are convinced, but I know Pat, I can tell Pat's convinced, and I know the rest of it, but I mean, I believe in the Word of God. I believe God's Word. I just do. Yeah. And, we've gone through enough things where you don't, I mean, hey, what are you going to do? Release it? You're going to stop believing the Word of God? You can't anymore. You know where in 1 John it says that he that is born of the Spirit does not sin? You know, and you know, why? Because you can't do that anymore. Doubt is something that we experience maybe when we first hear something, but then immediately the Word comes in to quench it. It is, the Word is a shield to us. It really is. God's Word watches over us, man. And like I say, God is revealing things. He's opening things up to the saints, is what the scripture says, but to the body of Christ, God is opening the things that he has for the body. I mean, like this gentleman, 120 years, I said, man, look at your Bible again, bro, because it's way past 120. We're talking about you stepped into eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what kind of life?
Anybody? Eternal life.
Eternal life. Thank you.
Is this a trick question?
It's a trick question. It is eternal life. So, a brother like that, you say, hey, man, look at it again, man. Read your word again. It's not 120. It's eternal. I mean, hey, you are alive for eternity. And that's cool, man. So, yeah. So it's the word of God that brings these forth. It's revelation that the Holy Spirit brings to an individual. That's what I love about this. It's an individual thing. It's something that you get from God. Visions and everything come personally, man. And so go after those things, man, wherever you are. Yeah.
And, you know, speaking about doubt, one of the things I saw that happened recently is that there's like around the country, there's certain places where they're kind of like protesting. And, yes. You know, I'm not going to speak about all of what they're protesting for. But one of the main reasons I see is like, we need to open up the economy. We need to get it going again. And, you know, I can understand non-believers saying that and everything, and even, you know, Christians, but I see it to the point where you could tell they're fearful about, you know, what's going to happen with their livelihood. Like, are they going to have their home? They're going to be able to eat, that type of thing, which, you know, certainly I could see that if you've been impacted where you don't have a job.
That's right.
But, you know, the one thing I want to kind of like express to anybody is like saying that, because, you know, I've seen people who I know are believers that are like posting on social media, same kind of things, like, you know, we need to get this economy started again. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I feel like with what's going on right now, God's kind of stripping us of all those things that we keep to, I guess, say that we're secure. Things that are securing us other than God.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I really want to say is like, you know, where is it your security truly comes from?
Right.
You know, just look at that. And it's like, it should be God. It's not the economy. It's not a politician.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not your job. It's going to be God. And it's like, well, how am I going to, you know, have any of that without a job? And it's like, well, God will provide.
Amen.
I mean, there's some crazy stuff in the Bible about how people were provided for, right?
That's right.
I mean, wasn't it just a few weeks ago you're talking about Elijah with the crows?
The crows, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, no matter what your circumstances out there, it's something where, you know, God's going to, he's going to provide for you.
Amen.
And, you know, you don't need to be fearful of anything. So
that's it. The key word is rest, is to trust, rest in him and what he's doing. And even because, you know, you think about, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that have sons and daughters and their kids, they're not working or they got bills, they got stuff to go. I mean, you're worried about your children. You're worried about those things. If you're a Christian, if you know the Lord, trust him.
Amen.
Let him do what he wants to do in the lives of those around us, especially our children. I'd love to break. Sometimes I want to break in and just help out my kids, you know, more than what I do already. if you want to hear that, but you know, more than but I hear the Lord saying no, even folks around the church. I want to be doing this, doing that for me and everything. But the Lord says no. They need to stand on me. They need to know me. They need to know me. Back off and let them find me. And so, you know, a lot of times people would say, well, brother, where are you, man? You're not even calling nobody. You're not saying nothing. Because the Lord is giving me these things. He said, hey, man, call this guy. I said, all right.
Yeah.
So we have to be led by the Lord, not just be hinky-dinky all over the place trying to do whatever we think we got to do. Do what God wants you to do. It is called being led by the Lord. That's cool.
Yeah.
Really is.
You know, this is a time where God's giving us this. I'm sorry, Steve. This is a time that God is blessing us with to get to know him and serve him and be strong in him.
Yeah, amen.
And we need to go reach out to our fellow brothers and sisters, too.
As the Lord leads, bro.
As the Lord leads, yes.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. The people I write to, they're standing strong in the Lord, without the pastors.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that good?
It's good.
you would think like somebody in our positions, our pastors, go, oh no, man, we got to be there. No, man, you don't. Let God teach them about himself. Isn't that cool? It really is. Hey, when he says, sorry, Steve, you're supposed to say, it's okay, Steve.
I tried.
Yeah.
It's okay, Steve. you know, I was just reading part of the 91st Psalm, and it's verse 14, 15, and 16. But it says, this is God talking here, and he says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Amen. There's a promise. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Amen. That's a good promise.
Amen.
He shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. That's what you guys were talking about, right? And I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life,
come on,
I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen.
Some good stuff.
Amen. You know, something that when Isaac, the Canaanites all around the country were watching him. Here's a guy that was prospering in a time of famine. His crops were growing. There was no rain. The world is watching us. And we're going to see the things of God rise up during this time. This church is going to be a light to our community. It's going to shine brilliantly. We're going to have a cross up there. It's going to be seen throughout this whole valley. God wants us to be in a place where the world around us is looking and wondering, how come it's working there? How come it's working for the Church of Jesus Christ? I mean, why? What are we missing? There's a lot of stuff that's taking place that's attracting people to want to know him. So I think we, too, have a great opportunity. How many people... Have you ever, I heard a guy say this one time, have you ever been tempted to tithe? No, you haven't. But I tell you what a golden opportunity to prove that God's word is true to you. That's the only time in the Bible where he tells us,
Test me.
Yeah. See if I won't pour you out a blessing you can't contain. These guys we read about throughout time, They knew about the tenth. They knew about the first fruits. They knew about the blessing of the Lord that came upon those that were diligent to give back unto him in worship the things that belong to him. We're seeing things take place in our day right now based on God's word coming true in our lives. So I encourage everybody out there, if you're struggling, if you're not working, I mean, if things, plant a seed. Plant a financial seed. Plant a seed of love, of encouragement. Our lives are nothing more but seed time and harvest. That's all it is. We're sowing, we're reaping, and think about this. The Bible says, consider the birds. Consider the birds. They don't sow nor reap. God takes care of them. How much more?
You can take
it. We need God's provisions. You want the devourer rebuked for your sake? Man, just take God's word and act on it.
And
I just want to share one little, the first little time that my wife and I had ever learned about what God's word said in this area. It was the toughest thing we ever did. I had $50 out of my check would have been a tithe for what I made. And Carrie and I went, oh my God, $50. But we did it because we saw in God's word that this, if you do this, God will do this. It's acting on what he said. The next day, a young lady came and knocked on our door, and my son was probably 10 years old at the time, stopped and said, hey, we're moving. They were a wealthy family down the street and said, we know you have a young son about our son's age. We had some clothes, brand new. Brand new, still $500 worth of clothes.
Come on, man. Praise God.
You know, let God do that for you. Amen. Trust him with everything. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
We had some people asking us that, hey, how do we pay our tithes now? What do you want? What do you want us to do? How can we pay our tithes? And they called me and asked me. I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't pay my tithes. Rosie pays my tithes. I'm going to make sure you know that. I tell Rosie, whatever. I mean, don't think, I mean, you from the lump sum. Don't wait till the taxes are taken out. Lord, Rosie, you, and then we make a decision on what percentage we give. And we've done that all our lives. But I really don't know how to give to this church because my wife knows all that. But so they're calling me and asking me. I thought that was kind of crazy. I said, man, I don't know. But we have a slot, man. Drop it off in the slot if you can get to the church, you know. And otherwise, you're going to have to talk to Rosie. But you know what? That, and thanks for bringing that up, Pat, because that is an important part to the body of Christ. And what I find that there's a lot of people that know that. And they're saying, hey, Where do I do my tithe, man?
I've found them out there on the in between the door, yeah, and the cracks on the floor. That's what
they've called us.
People are wanting doors, to.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Man. Come on.
It brings the best out of people, man.
Because the blessing of the Lord. Listen, because the blessing of the Lord, people that know it and understand it, that's why we've never taken an offering in our church, because we know that people understand how they get their blessing from their finances, man. So it's cool, man. So I love it, man.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know.
That's right.
I don't know how to do it.
You know, I was reading, I forget what book it is, but it's when the Israelites, when Cyrus, King Cyrus, sent the Israelites back to Jerusalem to build the temple.
Yes.
And it got too hard. There was a bunch of people there who were against them, and they gave up and they started building their own houses. And God took their wealth from them overnight.
That's it.
Just what happened in the United States. $3 trillion of wealth disappeared overnight. And because we're building our own house and not God's house.
That's it. So. Things are changing.
Yep.
God is changing things. He really is. It's happening. We're seeing it happen in the midst of what the world will call a crisis, what the world will call uncertain times. But like Jason said last week, no, man, the Word of God says that I know the plans I have for you, plans to heal you and not good things for you. So there is no uncertain times for the body of Christ. These are great times for God's people. Man. It really is.
Our God is, it brings Him pleasure to give. Yes. Our God is a giver. He gave us His Son. And all that we would ever need is available to us.
Come on.
All that is to receive it by faith. And whatever it is, whether it's a physical, whether it's monetary, whatever it is that we're needing, it's there.
That's right.
It's already provided. And it's for us. It's for the taking.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it's funny, we make it, sometimes we can make it so hard, huh? And it's like you said earlier, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Is that right? And, you know, all these things will be added to you. It's not hard. It's not hard to give. It's not hard, you know.
It's not some mystical formula.
It's not a mystical formula, man. Yeah. It is, operates by love.
Spiritual law.
A spiritual law. That's right.
Operates, it works.
It works.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to thank you guys for sitting down and talking this morning. And Pastor John, Brother Steve Cargill, Brother Steve Allen, Pastor Patrick Bannister, and Pastor Abe Enoch.
Abe McKeon.
I'm so used to saying Abe McKeon. Abe Enoch. I want to thank you guys. Thank you guys for coming and encouraging folks that are out there listening. I've got a friend that's in Tucson. He just now found our church, and I went to church with him, and I worked with him and he sent me a text, and he said, "I'm amazed at what you have done over the time." And I sent a text. It wasn't me. It was God, man. And he sent it back. He goes, "Yeah, that's what I'm amazed at. God does do really neat things. I like your website. I like what you're doing." And so I just want to say, hey, that God is doing great things with the body of Christ. We're changing things here. I believe we are. I believe we're headed for some live streaming. I believe in that. I'm saying that right now, putting it out in the air because it's going to happen. And but these little conversations will be live streamed. Isn't that cool? Yeah, so you can put on your suit, your ties, and everything else. Yeah. You don't have to wear pants. You can wear shorts. But you know,
I can't come in my tank top, flip flops.
Yeah.
No.
So. But we're going to be live streaming. We're going to be doing some things different in the church that we believe that God is doing some stuff, making changes. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about what we're going to see ahead.
Yeah.
And so everybody else, I just want to thank you for listening to Showtime, God's Appointed Times. And Brother Abe, you want to pray?
All right.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for given us an outlet to encourage people, Lord. And I just ask that everybody out there, that you help them to redeem the time for you, God, that you provide their needs. You help them to realize how they're equipped through you, Lord, how they can be somebody who serves you in this time where it may be different serving you. It may be a little bit more difficult, but God, just give them peace, give them rest. And Lord, thank you for always being there for us, providing in your great and precious promises.
Yes.
In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, guys.